The second reading is from the letter of 1 Peter, which is a very short letter near the end of the New Testament. But it's one of the, you know, it's one of the letters that really kind of gets at some of the day-to-dayness of faith. So if you haven't found it, I say, you know, take a peek. 1 Peter 2, verses 2 to 10. Paul is talking, or not Paul, the writer is talking to a people in a congregation. Like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow into salvation, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. Come to him, a living stone, though rejected by mortals, yet chosen and precious in God's sight. And like living stones, let yourselves be built into a spiritual house, to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For it stands in Scripture, "See, I am laying a stone in Zion, a cornerstone chosen and precious, and whoever believes in him will not be put to shame." To you, then, who believe, he is precious. But for those who do not believe, quote, "the stone that the builders rejected has become the very head of the corner," unquote. And a stone that makes them stumble and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the word, as they were destined to do. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own people, in order that you might proclaim the mighty acts of him who called you out of darkness into the marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. May God add a blessing to the hearing and understanding of this holy word. Amen. Several years, many, many years ago, I read a book called The Monks of Mount Athos, A-T-H-O-S. And I Wikipedia'd it this week just to refresh my mind about it. It's a very mountainous island where the hills come right down to the sea on almost everywhere. There are only a couple ports. It's a big island. And it's been a place that the Orthodox people have had monasteries most of the time since around 300. Okay? So a long time. The history is amazing. Some of the monasteries, you have to go up a rope ladder to get to them, you know. And on the southern shore, there are two places that boats go, and on the northern shore, there are a couple more than that. There are 20 communities there today. And about 20 years ago, there were about 1,000 monks, down from many more than that before, you know, previously. But now there are almost 2,000. In other words, there's been a real resurgence in people who go to live in this very ascetic life in this godforsaken place. I mean, really, if you Google it, or what, you know, you'll find this picture of this amazing place. And many of the new ones are college graduates, educated, and so they're cataloging all of the stuff that's been, you know, the history and the stuff that's been accumulated there through the years. Well, enough said. Mostly what I remember about the book, though, is a prayer that the monks there use, and it's called the Jesus Prayer. And it's a breath prayer, so you have to imagine that on the first part of it, you inhale, and on the second part of it, you exhale. And it's, "Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, Savior, have mercy on me, a sinner. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, Savior, have mercy on me, a sinner." I use that a lot. if I wake up in the night with my mind racing, does anyone, that happen to anyone else? Yeah. I use that, and just with the breath. And if once, and it doesn't always, it's not easy necessarily, but once you get into that, it kind of puts aside the stuff that's trying to boil in. And it's very relaxing. I use it any time I'm stressed, basically, and don't have to have full attention on what is stressing me. I kept thinking about it. Here are these ascetic monks. They either live in very small communities on this island, or they live in what are called skeets, which are small, individual huts that are kind of in within range of each other. I'm thinking, why are they asking for mercy? How do they consider themselves sinners? And then I thought, back to the scripture for today, and I said, because mercy is one of the things that defines us as Christians. Once we have not received mercy, but now we've received mercy. We have received mercy. And so, to ask for it and to realize it again and again is really important. Okay? There is a mercy, it goes way back to into the Old Testament. And there's a passage in Exodus that I'd like to, that's one of my favorite faves. It's from Exodus 34. The Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, keeping steadfast love for the thousandth generation, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin. Although this is a stiff-necked people, pardon our iniquity and sin. This happens. This is God speaking to Moses when he has come down the mountain. He's on the mountain for the second time, getting the Ten Commandments, the tablets. The rabbis who study the word to death, I mean, rabbis know the Bible, the Hebrew Bible. It is said that many rabbis, if you have the Torah in a page format, if you push a pin through a word on this page, they can tell you what word hits on the next page. I mean, seriously. Whew. Blows my mind. Anyway, they parsed this passage into 13 attributes of mercy, of God's mercy. Compassion before a person sins. Compassion after a person has sinned. Mighty in compassion to give all creatures according to their need. Merciful that humankind may not be distressed. Now, interestingly, the Hebrew word for merciful or mercy has the same root as the Hebrew word for womb. So that gives you the idea of protection, in this mercy. And gracious if humankind is already in distress. Slow to anger, plenteous in kindness and truth, keeping kindness unto thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin and pardoning. As I tried to say to the kids, it seems to me that mercy essentially is having the power to hurt someone, ranging from annoy to physical hurt, even when you think they might deserve it or you might be, authorized to do it, mercy is not doing it. Mercy is holding back. Mercy is treating people according to the golden rule, as you would be treated. The first reading, which I almost scotched because of Mother's Day and, Stephen dies from stoning, But it seems to me that it stands as a counterexample to mercy and a warning to us. The crowd, Stephen had offended their system. Stephen had been preaching things that they didn't agree with and didn't like. And so that crowd came together, and in their joint and, you know, kind of mutually stimulating way that crowds do, ended up stoning him, which was, according to their scriptures, an appropriate punishment for someone who was blaspheming, which is what they thought he would. But there certainly was room for mercy for this man just trying to tell the story of this guy named Jesus and tell his story and tell how he wanted people to be and to live. Mercy is not always easy. Mercy and forgiveness do indeed go together. And forgiveness, remember, when we talk about it, we say, you know, you can forgive something, but that doesn't necessarily stop there from being consequences. Okay? In Exodus, it talks about the sins of the parents being carried out to the children on the third and fourth generation, which one of my Old Testament professors said, a real mess takes a long time to straighten out. Okay. But so we think of ourselves as forgiving, and we see that the person that we've forgiven may be paying consequences for what it is. But mercy means that we may not be part of that ourselves, of the consequences. And it means that we cannot revel in the consequences. Now, I know forgiveness is hard itself, but not kind of going, yeah, she deserved that, or he had that coming. Not saying that and not believing it. Maybe even harder. Maybe even harder. But we are called to be people of mercy. It's receiving God's mercy that makes us God's people, according to 1 Peter. And so as we go forth and we think about ourselves as God's people, it behooves us to receive mercy first from God and then to share it with all with whom we interact. May mercy be your gift now and always. Amen.